shotgun formation again. Another blitz coming. Here's a pass. Over the little caught by Mike Williams. The 50, 45 to the 40. Mike Williams to the 30. Mike Williams to the phone race. To the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Mike Williams with another touchdown.
This is Buccaneers Total Access with Mike Williams.
How about that? My goodness.
On the home of the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE. Now your host, TJ Reeves.
And we come in on a Monday night with number 19 here after what was a tough battle with the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta comes away with a 24-23 victory on Sunday, snapping the Buccaneers' four-game win streak. And, well, first of all, good to see you. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving weekend.
Yes, my 50-minute turkey.
Your 50-minute turkey.
Yep, and I'm revealing the secret soon on Twitter, and everybody going to see how to make a 50-minute turkey.
You were talking about that last week, and there is a lot of skepticism that's out there because I had people tweeting me saying, I've looked for this. I can't find it. It's a special Mike Williams recipe while we get into that.
Yeah, basically, Mike. I'm going to have it out there. I'm the trendsetter of this. I just want everybody to know, like, if – you want to make a quick turkey? Everybody going to be doing it from now on.
So you had a good Thanksgiving. Unfortunately, Sunday ends up with a one-point loss 24 hours ago. It's 24 hours later. Still stings, I would assume. Yes?
Yeah, but kind of over it.
Got to move on?
Got to move on. We still in 100 things. We kind of actually in the same position we was when we started the last game. So hopefully that turns out good and we can go down to Denver and get a win.
You know, I was saying this to somebody else for whatever, a couple different people actually before the shows today, that this is the fourth or fifth time that you all have played a knockdown, dragout, last-minute game with the Atlanta Falcons. We got one of them at the beginning of last year, beating them here at home, but they've gotten three or four of them in the past. I don't know about you. I think Buck fans, me and everybody else, we owe the Falcons down the road because they've gotten three or four of these, and so down the road, for whatever it's worth, time we get one of those back, right?
Yeah, we got our chance coming up at the end of the season. Hopefully it's that one, but right now we got to focus on Denver.
Okay, from a couple of things from yesterday's game, we were just talking with the head coach in the last hour here as we come to you live on Monday night that this team has been so good coming out of the locker room, whether it's beginning of the game or beginning of the half. Yesterday was the fifth time this season already in 11 games where on the opening possession, whether it was the first possession of the game or the second possession of the game total, your first possession of the game, you have gotten a touchdown on the opening drive. They came out, they're able to kick a field goal. You guys get the ball for the first time and go 81 yards and get a touchdown. It culminates with a Doug Martin touchdown run. Why have you guys been so good coming out at the start of a game or at the start of the second half scoring touchdowns, Mike? What would you say?
I don't know. I think I think this year we're finishing better. Our start of our drives it's just been good. We've been getting points too. So if we're not getting a touchdown, we're kicking the field goal. So I think our this year has just been we've been driving the ball to start the game.
You know, the coach was saying that there are plays that you guys go over. There's not necessarily a script with an entire order, but there are plays that you like a lot at the start of a game or at the start of a half. You know, take me through, just in generic terms, what's that like? How rewarding is it, I guess, is the question, that you got plays that you like and then you suddenly see results like what we're seeing on Sunday with the stuff you've been working on and the stuff you've been playing?
Oh, yeah, we go over a million plays in practice, and then they come out with our opening drive, what plays he might call in the opening drives if we end up in these situations. And it's very rewarding to go out there and see, like, the game plan is working. Like, you go out there and you see you just score an opening drive, you'd be like, okay, this game plan is working. It's very rewarding to see that.
In terms of practice and preparation, a lot of people would wonder, I mean, do you guys line up and go, okay, opening drive of the game, here we go. This is the scenario in practice, opening drive of the game. Does it get that specific, or opening drive of the second half, here we go?
Oh, yeah, every Friday we got a script we run. It's like 20 plays on Friday, and we'd be like, these are the plays we're going to run to open and drive. And We do it every Friday, and they call it Perfect Friday. We try to be perfect on those plays. So, and we've been kind of perfect. Well, not perfect to Fleck voice, but we've been perfect.
Fleck's voice would be wide receivers coach PJ Fleck there that you're sharing with. But again, that's a great. I mean, for example, last year it took all the way, I believe, until the 13th game. You know, for whatever it's worth, last year in the struggles, the 13th game was the first time for an opening drive touchdown. You've done it five times in 11 games this year. So obviously, the preparation, the practice, you know, all of that is paying off on Sundays.
Yeah, exactly. Like I keep on saying every week that Shiano's the most prepared coach I ever seen. Like step to a game and be prepared on what the other team's going to do. I think he's the most prepared.
Again, the voice of Mike Williams. We will take your phone calls as we go along, 990-4620. If you're in Hillsboro, if you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll-free, 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827, toll-free. If you're outside of the immediate area and you want to ring in, it was interesting with Gerald McCoy on the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. Mike, you got something to live up to tonight on Total Access. Got a call from Mexico City, Mexico, from a Bucks fan.
That's crazy.
Then we got a call from Utica, New York, upstate near kind of where you are. Mm-hmm. Then we got a call from Colorado from a Bucks fan, or from Utah, I think, from a Bucks fan that was anxious to go to the game. So, and even on Coach Shiano's show in the opening hour on this Monday night, got a call from Colorado. So there are Buck fans that are all over the place. If you're listening in, again, use the toll-free number, 1-800-596-BUCKS. 1-800-596-2827 is the toll-free to join us here
need
tonight.
Spain or something.
You need international?
Yeah.
We have had some international. Well, I mean, Mexico would count as international. We're not sure how good the toll-free is working outside of North America, but we could put it to the test tonight and find out wherever there are Buck fans that are listening in. Hey, that environment yesterday, a rocking crowd there yesterday. What was it like to go against the Falcons, division rival, at home, back at home, coming off of the great road win at Carolina? What was it like as a player to be out there on Sunday?
I was very excited, man. It was like the crowd was in the game the whole game, all the way up to the last play, the Hail Mary play. But it's very exciting to come out and see your home fans out there and them to get rocking like that, to get loud, for our defense to cause turnovers. We've seen a couple of them out there on the mistakes they made on our crowd noise and things like that. So it's very exciting to see that.
You know, you cannot overemphasize how much of an advantage it is, because we go to play, we're going to play Sunday where it is raucous loud. And you know this from playing in the Metrodome earlier this year, or playing in the Superdome against the Saints, or even the Georgia Dome against the Falcons. There are a lot of loud places to play. But for you guys, you can't emphasize enough, especially when the team is on defense, that loud environment means everything, right?
Yeah, it means everything. You got to be right on the signals. You got to know the silent count, what it's on, and watch the ball. You got to still know your same reads. It means a lot.
So, again, we encourage the Buck fans, get out there and in full voice, make a difference, because they were certainly rocking along there yesterday. You mentioned the Hail Mary play at the end of the game that Josh Freeman was throwing. That's always a wild play, and we've seen touchdowns on those kind of plays before. As a player who was down in the end zone on the final play of the game, as that ball is being launched, take us through, Mike, what it's like in that moment, you know, where there's literally 10 or 12 guys down in the end zone, and here comes the ball.
Well, we go over that every Saturday. We go over that situation every Saturday. If it ever come up, where we should be at in the end zone, where we want us jumping, and
So wait, you specifically work on where should I be in the end zone and who's going to jump and what might happen?
Yeah, I told you, Shiano, the most prepared.
keep going. I just want to make sure fans caught that. Keep going.
Yeah, so it's we specifically work on the exact spot, and I run down as fast as I can, and I got to find Vincent and get behind Vincent. But I couldn't find him. It's like they boxed him out or something, and I just took over Vincent's job. Like, I'm like, it's like we're going to win this game like this. I just took over Vincent's job. It's like they boxed him out or something like that, and I had to take his place, and he had to take my place, and we both knew exactly what to do. He took my place, I took his place, It's just I fell a little short.
And help me here. Tyquan's on the field. He's also down there. Was there a fourth person that was also down there as well? Because there's a ton of Falcons down there, too. It was tough to tell who all was down there besides you and Vincent.
Yeah, Dallas.
So you're all four down there, and the ball is coming down. And if you remember what you're thinking, because, again, it's in the air for a little while. It's in the air for a couple seconds. What are you thinking as the ball is coming at you?
Get touchdown. Oh, my God. I was running, and the ball was a little bit to my right. And I had to, like, jump off my left foot. My right foot to get to the ball. I think if I would have got over there first, I think I could have caught that ball. I think I was just a little short to the left. But I was thinking touchdown automatic. I just misjudged it.
And that's not an easy play for anybody to make. And, again, you got defenders. How often – all right, have fun here with this. How often are defenders, as you mentioned, boxing out, nudging, pushing – there's some scrapping going on, trying to get position to jump. Right?
I think they had a plan for that. I think they knew Vincent was going to be in the play. So I think they tried to, like, take him out the play right away. And I think they must have practiced in the same play, too. So we had to adjust to it.
Again, the Hail Mary comes up just short there, but you never know, when that might come up again and those plays happen. So you guys practice that every week?
Every week. Practice that play every single week. Man, you'd be crazy with the situations we practice. We practice crazy.
I was going to say, if fans haven't picked up on this by now, there are going to be only a rare instance or two where you guys haven't practiced something that's coming up. I just get that impression from talking to all of you guys and the staff. I mean, you guys are constantly practicing specific game situations and what would happen.
We have practiced them last final two plays. We practiced those the exact same way. We out of Hail Mary range where Josh can get the ball to the end zone. We practice that exact play. Got the
trying
ball
to get in range.
Yeah, got the ball
or
to
maybe
Dallas.
Kick a field goal at that moment. Yeah.
Matter of fact, I think the exact seconds was 8 seconds. To be honest, that we practiced the exact seconds was 8 seconds on the clock. What would we do in this situation? And I mean. It was the exact situation. I just didn't come down with the ball.
That's the way that you prepare, and you're prepared for those situations if you go and practice them like what you're talking about. I thought it was interesting. I mentioned this real quick on the radio with Gene and Dave that, hey, with 8 seconds left, there is time to get some yardage and maybe try a long field goal, and we've seen that in the past. So it wasn't necessarily going to be a Hail Mary off the first play, and it wasn't. There at the end, and then it ended up being a Hail Mary at the end there for the final play. Again, you can join us on the phones. You can also tweet me a question as well at Bucks Sideline Guy, BUC, Bucks Sideline Guy. We'll get to your questions and comments. We'll talk Denver Broncos as well. Mike Williams here with us on this Monday night as we continue on Buccaneers Total Access on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Gracious. We're just having some fun here on a Monday night with Mike Williams, number 19. Again, you can join us on the phones, 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827 is the toll free. And again, if you want to tweet a question or a comment, do so at Bucks Sideline Guy, BUC, Bucks Sideline Guy. Do we have the highlight standing by? Here from yesterday, this was the second quarter of the game after Rondé Barber's interception. The very first play after the interception ended up being a trick play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Here you go. Or maybe not. We'll see. I thought that we had the play. Hey, it's a live radio show. We'll find out if we get the play or if we have the play, because we want to talk about the play where Mike Williams was throwing the football there yesterday. It's a radio glitch, so we'll wait for just a second because I want to ask you about what we're about to hear here, where you guys elected to go with a little bit of trickery there yesterday. So apparently, hey.
Freeman, quick out pass to Mike Williams. Up, hold up, halfback pass to the Vincent Jackson to the 5-3-2-yard line. Razzle-dazzle Buccaneers. It's a lateral to Mike Williams, and he throws the bomb to Vincent Jackson. We're in the red zone. Fire the cannon once.
So that was Gene's call of the play yesterday. So let's talk about this a little bit. Mike Williams, quarterback.
It's something I've been doing my whole life. You know what I mean? I kind of took lessons from Freeman a little bit, but No, the Cosine I can throw, and we decided to throw it in. It was in our package the whole year. We just – it's always been in our package. We just never had the opportunity to call it.
So yesterday it gets called, and I was asking Coach Schiano about this during his show, that there had to be a second where he's standing there on the sideline, you know, anxious. Is this going to work? You know the trick play is on. What's it like for you as a receiver standing over there knowing, here comes one where I'm going to catch it and I got to throw it? What's that like?
Well, it was all a shock to me. I ran out and they called the play. And I was like, oh, they called it. Like, it was like, wow. Like, I was really surprised that they called it. So I'm like, okay, I got to remember my split. I got to remember if he opened, where to throw it. But I actually told Vincent, if he had somebody on him, I was throwing it regardless. So I was going to take that throw regardless right there. So, but I was pretty sure he was going to be good enough to make the play. Like I told him yesterday, people were saying it was short and I should have put it in the end zone. I don't see how quarterbacks drop back in the pocket and get a rush right in their face and then throw a dime. That's impossible to me. Like, I actually closed my eyes at a point. Like, it was everybody in my face. It was crazy.
Well, and it gives you appreciation for what those quarterbacks have to do when a 250-pound linebacker is flying right at them.
Yeah.
And you got to be able to chuck that thing.
Yeah, you're right. I was talking to Dan today, and he was telling me, like, now you when you come back and go like this to Josh, you can't do that no more.
When you got your arms up.
Yeah, he expected to do that. He expected to do that now. So.
Well, on that pass, and again, I'm defending you because I have seen plays like this where the ball is overthrown and it's uncatchable or it's thrown out of bounds. Objective number one is complete the pass,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. He was wide open. I didn't want to overthrow him. I knew I could just put it out there for him, and he was going to catch it.
How often have you worked on that? You said you've been working on it all year. You worked on it this week. You work on it all the time on that pass?
Yeah, we actually do. I keep telling people, Schiano, the most prepared. Like, I had to throw that ball 100 times already. I threw that 100 times already in front of pressure with somebody on Vincent. What I do if it's two people back there,
What do you – I mean, in that moment, if there's two people back there, you improvise, huh? You're going to go ahead and throw it away? Come on, quarterback Mike.
I was
going to say,
yeah.
You have a split second to make a decision like Josh Freeman. You can't just be hesitating, right? You just throw it away.
Yeah,
right?
Throw it away.
But your completion percentage is now 100%.
Yeah, I know. It's 100%.
You're one for one.
Hopefully I stay there. I wish it was one for one for one.
With a touchdown.
Yeah, but I take it. We got to the 2-yard line. We just got to punch it in when we get that opportunity.
On plays like that, elaborate for the fans, because that play looks similar to other plays that you've run, wide receiver, screen or whatever, out of a similar formation. That's the idea, right, behind that play.
Yeah, on plays like that, you just got to be knowledgeable of the game. You can't throw two forward passes in one play. So I got to get back so he can make it be a backwards pass and try to line up and make it look like our receiver screen play. You just got to be aware of your situations and the rules of the game.
Had you thrown a pass, and I know you haven't done it for the Bucs, had you thrown a pass in the game in Syracuse at all?
Yeah.
How'd you do? Come on, confess, because we'll look it up and find it if you want.
Two-point conversion. I threw a two-point conversion to Marcus Bell.
Same thing where they threw it out to you and then you threw it?
No, I came in reverse. I got a reverse pitch back to me.
So you were kind of on the run?
Yeah, on the run, and he was wide open in the end zone. I just tossed it up there. Two-point conversion.
That's the only time at Syracuse?
Only time at Syracuse.
So you're one for one in college. Did you ever throw them in high school?
Yeah, I threw a lot of them in high school. Some incomplete, some completed.
Did you ever throw a touchdown in high school?
Oh, yeah, I threw a touchdown.
Did you go down and listen, now you're laying it on thick. You threw an 80-yard touchdown.
Yep,
the ball was how far in the air?
Oh, probably like 45 yards in the air.
Did you go down and thank the receiver?
Yeah, I did.
I mean, that's what quarterbacks do, is they thank their receivers.
Yeah,
you're usually on the receiving end of the thanks and on the catch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just wondering about this here with Mike as we explore his throwing exploits tonight here on Buccaneers Total Access. Again, you can join us on the phones, 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll-free, 1-800-596-BUCKS. 1-800-596-2827. Also, you can tweet a question, tweet me one at Bucks Sideline Guy. You don't want to wait on hold. You don't want to call in. Bucks Sideline Guy, B-U-C. Aaron tweets me and says, Mike, how do you condition differently when you're playing in altitude, like Mile High? Will you guys do anything any differently? Because obviously it's a different elevation and it's a little harder to get your breath. You have a thought on that?
Well, I don't know. This will be my first time ever doing it. He has a plan this week for us to be conditioned and legs to be in shape for us this week. So we're going to see what the plan. I really don't know yet. Practice Wednesday.
All right. So that's something else to consider. A lot of times players will talk in the altitude that it may be a little tougher to recover. You'll see oxygen over on the sideline, you know, things such as that to try to help guys. Because it's not as easy to get your breath, especially if you run a long pass route, let's say, and you're going 40, 50 yards sprinting down the field, and you do that more than once or twice, maybe in a drive, it may be a little tougher to recover. That's part of that.
So I mean, hopefully we shouldn't have a problem. I think we're one of the best conditioned teams in the NFL, so hopefully we shouldn't have a problem.
All right. Again, thanks there for the question, and you can tweet questions and comments. You can also dial us up here again on the phones at 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620, and toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS. It was interesting that in the second half of the game, and the time of the year and the time of the day it was, the sun now kind of sets a little bit earlier and sets a little differently, and you know where I'm going with this, yeah. That in the second half, over on the far sideline, the Falcon sideline, it became difficult at times to look back over your left shoulder and look back towards the Buck sideline and see, and you're nodding along with this. And there were several times where Buccaneers and Falcons, receivers and defenders, had trouble picking up the ball. What was that like being out there on the field? Give us some insight there with the sun coming down.
Oh, that's always a crazy situation because the ball disappears in the air. You don't see it. Like, it's – where is that? Like, I had a – I'm not going to say – well, yeah, I had an easy touchdown play. Josh threw me a fade in the end zone. I was one-on-one. It's a routine catch I always make. I lost the ball. I couldn't – find out where the ball was at. We end up scoring on that drive, but I lost the ball, and I didn't know what to do. His hand went up, so I just threw my hands up like, please be in this area somewhere.
Right. That was the one with Samuel in the end zone, right? Where you're trying – I mean, you're battling him on your route. You turn back and you look.
And it's no ball. Like, I see him looking at me to release. No ball. He even – Samuel even said to me, like, I couldn't even see it. Like, I'm like, me
either. He said that to you.
Yeah, he said that to me. On his interception, he actually came up to us and told us, well, not his interception, it could have been interception.
When he was on Vincent.
Yeah, he said he couldn't see the ball. Vincent said he couldn't see it either. He was running down the field. Like, it was hard to see from that angle.
You know, and it's one of those things that goes under consideration, obviously, for which side do you take at the kickoff if the other team wants the ball and which way are you going in the fourth quarter. Sometimes it's the wind. Sometimes it may now be another factor with the setting sun, too, to play that way, because in the fourth quarter, the Falcons were actually going that way where it was going to be their receivers that were going to be looking at it.
Yeah, exactly. So I wouldn't be surprised if Shiano was prepared on that, too.
Sure.
So,
he actually said that that's one of the things that they had looked at on which way, you know, with the sun and with all of that. So,
yeah, I told you.
Tough conditions there, though, with the sun in that second half. All right, to the phones, Frank in Lakeland. You're on here with Mike Williams on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, Frank.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, Mike, how you doing?
How you doing, Frank?
Hey, listen, I just wanted to ask a question as the scoring. I know that we, you know, got deep pretty often, you know, but we seem to be just settling for field goals. And with a team like Atlanta that, you know, they have their top-notch receivers and, of course, Michael Turner, running back. I mean, you know, these guys, they can – I mean, any team can score at will, but these guys, the elite teams, and I consider us – the Bucs an elite team because we can score at will at times, as you guys were mentioning a while ago. You know, we're getting these touchdowns on the first possession, which is great. But settling for field goals especially with a team like Atlanta that can score, I mean, that's like if we kick two field goals, they just have to score a touchdown and it nullifies those two field goals. is there, you guys ever talk, or does the coach ever, like, want to go for it? I mean, I think we should have went on it for it a couple of times on fourth down to try to get these extra points on touchdowns instead of settling for field goals.
All right, Frank, go ahead.
Well, I think that's really not my decision to make. Some people always want to go for it. Sometimes the quarterback want to go for it, the O-line want to go for it. But that's the head coach decision. But I think in the decision-making process, you rather take three than get a stop and momentum change and things like that, and they end up in good field position and things like that. Like, you miss a field goal, they end up exactly where you kicked it at. So it's hard with that decision, and that's why that's a head coach job.
You know, back to scoring touchdowns, that's your objective every time that you have the ball. And, you know, if you have to settle for three, you have to settle for three. Yesterday it was magnified. You guys did well getting in position to score, kicked field goals, which you will take. But touchdowns, you know, would have made the game probably different, a different dynamic. If you're able to get a touchdown there after the E.J. Biggers sack fumble, it's 27-17 instead of 23-17, which is what the caller is talking about there. Now Atlanta needs two scores. Yeah. And it's just how football is, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can go back to any situation. You could say, what if they make that chip shot field goal at the half? As I mean, it could have been in that situation, yep. But those situations come up in games. And, of course, we as an offense, we want to score a million touchdowns a game. We want to go down there and only use Connor Barth, our field goal kicker, on extra points. We want to do that. But when those situations come up where it's fourth down and we don't want to get a turnover, we don't want to stop the momentum, we already down there, take the three when we can.
The interesting thing, and this is what talk radio is and the internet and second guessers and whatever, the interesting thing about that decision, there's about 3.5 minutes left in the game. It is fourth and long because it's fourth and seven. So you're at the fringe of where Connor Barth can kick it, about 56 yards, 57 yards maybe, as the coach was talking about earlier tonight. And as he was saying with the strategy, do you pooch punt it? And if it goes into the end zone, now you're regretting that because you've only gained 17 yards of field position to give them the ball as opposed to pinning it down. Whereas if you kick the field goal and put them behind and Michael Kanan is now going to kick off, you're going to put him at the 20-yard line again more than likely because he's so great at kicking it in the end zone, and you're up by two now in this situation. And, oh, by the way, the coach has to make that decision in 20 seconds or so about which one are we going to do, go for it, punt, or try to put it up by three. So that's the dynamic of what's going through a coach's mind and a coach's choice there in that situation, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure that situation came in his head too. Yeah, that's the coach's decision. That's one of the big decisions he got to make. I got to go out and run routes and block and catch the ball, and that's what I do, and listen to the play call and try to execute that play, and that's one of his decisions he have to make.
Back to the phones. Robert in St. Pete, you are next here with Mike Williams on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, Robert.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Mike. Hey, just first of all, just a statement. You guys have been, you especially, have been playing great this year compared to last year. Great improvement. Everybody loves it, your work ethic. Second thing, I'll ask a couple questions and hang up. One, on the one play, you were right on the goal line, and Josh had you, and I think he overthrew you, and didn't know if that's usually a jump ball or if he just didn't want to throw it low because the defender could come back and intercept it. And the second one was on a Vince Jackson deep ball that he was thrown, and it was a little bit underthrown, and instead of him coming back and trying to bat the ball down, the guy almost intercepted it. So I just was curious if you guys are obviously trained to come back and bat the ball down, or at least make sure the guy doesn't intercept it. And I'll hang up and listen to you. Thank you.
Yeah, well, on the second one, the Vincent Jackson one, that was when the sun came in effect. Neither one of them see the ball, and even Samuel said he couldn't see the ball. So,
and if I can stop you there, when you see it on the game tape and you saw this on the coach's tape, you can tell that Vincent can't see the ball because he stops and you can see him looking. He doesn't know where the ball is for a half second. And again, I'm not making excuses here. The sun was in both guys' eyes. But I think if Vincent can see the ball, he's going to come back and jump for the ball because he stops. He clearly is looking like, where is the ball at that moment? And as you said, Samuel said to you guys, I couldn't see it either because it almost hit him in the chest and he couldn't see it and couldn't catch it.
Yeah, exactly. If we see the ball like short or anything, which Josh actually got hit in the pocket on that play. He couldn't get a full follow through. Well, at least that's what he told me.
He was being hit, yes.
No, he got hit in the pocket. But on that situation right there, we come back and try to catch the ball or come back and try to knock it down. We don't want a turnover either. But on the first one, he said, Josh missed me on the throw. Sometimes that happens. I'm in a different area where I'm not supposed to be, or he thought I was going to run to the back pylon and things like that. But on that one, I just think it was just – it just happened. He missed the throw.
You just have to shake that off as a quarterback and receiver next play?
Yeah, next. That's exactly what we did. We just went to the next play. He'll get me next time.
There you go. And there was a lot of time left in the game. I mean, it was a big play at the moment because it ended up being 3 points instead of seven. But, I mean, you got a whole game still left to play after that, a whole half, as it turns out, after that. All right, we will pause. We'll come back with more of your calls, comments. You can tweet in your questions as well. Do so at Buck Sideline Guy, BUC Buck Sideline Guy. Several of you tweeting me questions and comments for Mike as we go along tonight. We will continue. It is Buccaneers Total Access. We'll talk a little Denver Broncos, too, before we're done on the Buccaneers Radio Network. We are back. It is Buccaneers Total Access here with Mike Williams. We kind of touched on this at the top of the show. For Thanksgiving weekend, you had mom in town. Did you have other relatives, friends? How did Thanksgiving weekend go besides the game?
Yeah, my little brother, a couple cousins over. It went great.
Who ate the most?
Oh, my friend Big Ant. And he got the name Big Ant for a reason.
Big Ant went for seconds?
Fourths? Yeah.
Okay. I'm just checking. Now, a lot of people like leftovers. We had the last of the turkey leftovers today, actually, in the Reeves household. How long did any of the leftovers last? Did they last?
2 days.
2 days was it?
Yeah, it was it. We got rid of everything in 2 days.
I think one of the most popular things after a couple of days of turkey is everybody orders a pizza, it seems like, because you just want something the complete opposite of Thanksgiving. By Friday or Saturday, you're looking at the pizza option.
My mom, since I was growing up, my mom never let us do that. We eating Thanksgiving food until it's gone.
You're eating it the whole time, huh?
The whole time. I don't care if it takes 2 weeks. We not going to have groceries for 2 weeks until all that food gone.
She wanted to make sure.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Oh, breakfast even, to make sure that we're going to eat all the leftovers and get that done.
Yep.
All right. You still want to fess up on the one-hour turkey?
Well, it only took me 50-something minutes this time, so I guess that's a fess-up. But
there is some skepticism out there in Buccaneer land from the fans about this turkey in 1 hour, just so you know.
Beast. I'm like a chef in the kitchen. That's something I want to do when I retire.
And your mother, because this is the confirmation here that this actually happened, because his mother means everything, your mother ate this turkey.
My mother ate this turkey.
Okay.
She actually had seconds.
I'm telling you, Buccaneer fans, he's not pulling our leg if it involves his mom, and he's saying his mom ate the turkey.
Yes.
I'm just going out there with it that you wouldn't be making that part up.
And she, witnessed the 50.
Your mama would find you immediately after this radio show if you were telling us that fishing tale.
Oh, yeah, she would.
All right. Chris in St. Pete is with us on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, Chris.
Hey, good evening, TJ. Good evening, Mike.
How you doing, Chris?
Bad, tough loss yesterday, man. But, you know, you're not going to win them all as long as you fight your heart out and fight to the end, which you guys did. That's all you can ask for. And nice throw, by the way, on that. Did you do any quarterbacking in high school or college?
Chris, we were talking about this earlier. Just repeat it for those that are just joining us about your throwing.
Well, I threw a two-point conversion in college and in high school. I'm about 85%.
I think earlier in the show it was like I completed some. Now you were 85% in high school, speaking of fishtails.
That's some with me, 85%. I threw an 80-yard touchdown once, 45 in the air.
Listen to this. Chris, anything else, buddy? He is gone there with that. And again, for the folks that are just joining us, You have appreciation. You said this earlier tonight for quarterbacks and what they go through with people flying at you.
Oh yeah,
that's, they get a spiral out there.
They got big respect for me to put it on the money like that with pressure. It's crazy.
Now that it's happened, I don't remember this. Did you have your glove on? How hard is it to throw with the glove actually on? Because it can be a little slick on the ball.
It's actually easier.
It's fine.
It's fine. It's straight.
All right.
There was one thing with coaching points too, to keep the gloves on, and I wanted to keep my gloves on anyway.
There's a very famous one here, the Buccaneer play where the Bucs were playing the Jets years ago. Keyshawn Johnson's first game against his old team, and one of the big moments was a halfback pass by Curtis Martin. Remember, Curtis Martin played for the Jets, and the famous part of that story is they brought the trick play into the huddle where he's going to throw the halfback pass down in the red zone. And Curtis Martin is lined up as the running back, and he is secretly and quietly taking the glove off his right hand. And right before the snap, the glove drops on the ground, and he takes the hand off, and he threw the ball barehanded. Because, again, in that case, you didn't want to tip off the other team. I'm taking my glove off of my hand if you're the running back. But in that case, you prefer just keep the glove on, throw the ball with the glove.
Oh, yeah. I prefer to throw it with the glove. I wouldn't take it off. Even if they gave me the option to take it off, I wouldn't do it.
All right. So how about that with the gloves? A couple of people on Twitter are weighing in. A guy who goes by the handle Palm Beach Buccaneer said, driving home, listening tonight on the East Coast. Love the insight. Keep up the good work. So there's a Buck fan over in West Palm Beach saying that.
Thanks a lot.
Another guy under the handle Mike Ozuna, if I got the name right, tweets in and says, proud of my Bucks. This was supposed to be just about getting recommitted, but you guys are doing more than that. Can't wait till next week. So there's another fan. Mark tweets and says, who got the steak this week? The Brontosaurus fake steak that we keep talking about for the best receiver.
Vincent got it again this week.
Already in his locker?
Already in his locker. He got it again. He played a good game. This is the best blocking game I ever seen him play.
All right. So the steak for that week goes to Vincent Jackson. Let's go to Nathan in Bradenton. You are next here with Mike Williams on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, Nathan.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
How you doing, Nathan?
Good, good. I'm doing good. Listen, I wanted to thank you. I called up there a couple weeks ago, and just before y'all went up for the Carolina game, I went up to that game. I had a great time walking out of that stadium, chanting Tampa Bay with the other Buccaneer fans that were there. I want to thank you for making that experience so awesome and so much fun, and just completely thank you very much. I'm out.
How about that?
Oh, yeah. You're welcome. I hope you enjoyed it. I can't wait to see you at another Bucs game.
Buc fans have been at the previous few games that we've been talking about on these shows. We saw them in Northern California at the Oakland game. A lot of players had friends and family there. We saw them at Minnesota for the Thursday night game by the dozens and dozens and dozens with Buccaneer jerseys on. As a player going on the road, what does that mean, like at Carolina, to look around and see Buccaneer fans pregame while the game's going on and after the game?
It's good. It shows that you have fans everywhere, and it shows that you have fans that travel. It's good to see, and you always want to go out and get a win for them.
All right, you were asking for earlier tonight about a call from long ways away, right?
Mm-hmm.
You ready to go to Spokane, Washington? I don't know if you've ever been to Spokane. We've been to Seattle. Spokane, Washington. Here is Josh on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, Josh.
Hey, Mike. It's Josh.
How you doing, Josh?
Doing pretty good. I'm out here. I'm at the Air Force, so that's why I'm from Tampa originally. So I'm just calling it. I had a question for you. I know you guys have been talking about the sun being an issue as far as Tampa. I know how it is out there. And, I was just wondering what's your stance? I don't know what the rules are in the NFL, but why don't you go with the tinted visor as opposed to the clear one I've noticed you wearing and stuff like that? I didn't know if that was going to help or not, but just seeing if that would help you guys out with I know you guys are going up to Denver too. It's Broncos season, so I'm sure this is going to be weird up there as far as the sun goes. It's going to be going down and stuff, but just wondering about that.
Interesting. All right, we'll get the answer in a second. Josh, you're just up there on business in Washington, or what were you doing up there for Thanksgiving?
Oh, I actually work up here. I live up here. I'm in the Air Force, so I'm working, I guess.
All right, so a big Buck fan in Spokane, Washington. Josh, thanks.
All right,
and we'll let him hear the answer, too, here to this. What about a tinted visor?
Well, they only let, like, people that wear tinted visors, you got to be, like, medically able to wear them. Like, you got to come back off of a concussion or something like that, or something with your eyes that you got to wear a tinted visor. They tell you got to wear a clear visor.
How much, I mean, you got a visor on. How much does eye black help with the sun for you? Have you put eye black on in the past, and would it help?
Not at all.
Not
for me. A lot of players use it, but not for me. I tried it in the first half of the Raiders game, and it didn't work for me at all. I just wiped it off and and went regular in the second half.
Doesn't seem what it goes with that. And back to the tinted visor thing, the NFL actually a few years ago began to restrict that, and one of the reasons they used for it was player safety, because if something happened with a head injury, with a player being knocked out, one of the things that the doctors and paramedics in a traumatic situation want to see is they want to see your eyes. Are your eyes open? Are your eyes dilated if they're open? They want to be able to see that, and if you've got a visor on, a shield where they can't see your eyes, you know, it's a concern. So it's interesting that you point out you got to have a medical clearance essentially now to wear one. It's not just a choice of do I put on a tinted one in the sunshine, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I would if we could, but it's not my choice.
Now, see, you asked for Buck fans outside of the area. You're still listening in. You can dial us up, 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. You can also tweet. This is interesting, too. If you're a Buck fan that's just listening tonight and you want to tweet in and you don't want to call in, tweet us from where you're listening from as well. With the technology, the internet, and everything being what it is, Mike's probably curious as to who might. We had somebody, wasn't it on your show, I think, last week, that was listening in Argentina, I think. Call us.
Uh-huh.
South America, way South America. So you never know. If you're a Buck fan and you're from out of town, out of state, and Mike's even saying out of country, go ahead. You can tweet in. You can call in if you can get through on the phone as well. Go ahead and do that, 1-800-596-BUCKS, or we'll take your calls here locally as well at 990-4620, or if you're in Pinellas at 727-461-4620 as we continue. We'll talk more about the Broncos and the matchup with them straight ahead. It is Buccaneers Total Access on this Monday night on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Back in here with number 19, Mike Williams. We'll talk Denver Broncos in a couple of seconds. Again, if you're listening in from out of town, Mike kind of wants to hear from you towards the end of the show. We had a Buccaneer fan call the coach in the last show on Buccaneers Total Access, who's in Colorado Springs. He said, I'm going to be wearing my number 5 Josh Freeman jersey. I'm ready to go here for Sunday. So there may be, you know, some Buccaneer fans listening tonight in Colorado or in the Mountain Time Zone that may be venturing in there. It'll be our first time in there since 2008. That's the last time that we've actually played in Denver. So we'll see. Back to the phones. Here is Keith in Houston, Texas. Speaking of, it's actually Pete, I'm sorry, in Houston, Texas. Hey, Pete on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Hey, how you guys doing? It's my first time calling.
How you doing, Pete? It's good to talk.
Great, man. Mike, it's a pleasure. Big time pleasure. I was in my living room going crazy this weekend. I am going to the Philadelphia game, so I'm gonna go over there and wear all my Buck red. I was born in Tampa, Florida, but it's I'm kind of nervous right now because my first time calling in, and
it's okay, no problem. You're doing great. Keep going.
What did Josh say, Mike, to you guys on that last Hail Mary pass?
What did he say in the huddle? I guess would be his question.
In the huddle, yes, sir. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
In the huddle. Were you guys fired up, or what did Josh say? I'm like wondering, because I was sitting in my living room. I'm saying, please make this catch, please.
I think we were all saying that. Pete, thanks. Hang in there. You described this earlier. What's that huddle like for a Hail Mary?
Well, we try to be calm. Like I keep getting back to it, but Shiano comes to the huddle and practice all the time, and he goes, why everybody going crazy at this moment? What are we? He always do it. Like
a pop quiz.
Yeah, like when everybody go, we calm. Like we kind of like pick on him about it now. He'd come to the huddle, we'd be like, we calm, coach. You don't even got to say it. But we actually, we was calm. We was straight. It was just Josh said he's going to buy some time and get the ball in the air. We just all knew our jobs and had to execute
it. And it's worthwhile again because this is the first time we've had it this year. Repeat it for those that are just hearing us because we talked all the way back at the beginning of the show about the Hail Mary. What's it like as a receiver when that ball's in the air for an extra 2 or 3 seconds from 65, 70 yards away? What's it like waiting, watching for it to come down, battling defenders? Go ahead.
It's a normal situation for me. It's the ball in the air. I got to get it. That's how I look at it. It's in the air. I got to get it. I try to judge it right and try to come down with the catch. It's just that time I just did.
And this, to repeat again, is something that you work on every week in practice as a
every
team.
Single
that
week.
Hail Mary play that we saw.
Yes, every single week. And we work on that in practice. And it came up in the game.
Let's see. Somebody under the handle Emperor 2K9 on Twitter says, "Hey, Mike, listening in Philadelphia, wore my jersey to work today, repping my Bucks. We will make the playoffs." There you go. Buck fan in Philly is listening.
Sure.
Washington State, Houston, Texas checking in. Again, you can tweet me at Bucks Sideline Guy if you're listening up here. Mike wants to know where you are if you're outside of the area tonight and you can hear us. Go to Bucks Sideline Guy, BUC, and get in a quick tweet if you like. Ron is in St. Pete on the phones. Ron, you are next here with Mike Williams on Total Access.
Hey, TJ, how you doing this evening? Mike, how are you?
All right, great. And you?
I'm awesome. Would be better if we had gotten the win, but TJ, faithful listener, I love your show.
And, thank you.
More so, Mike, I really like, we really love you here as a receiver. I know you were working hard out there yesterday. Some of the other things that need to be done. Football's an intricate sport, so it's not always about catching the deep ball or, catching 50 passes a game. But I was up there streaming, and it was kind of funny because, I'm sitting there with my son and everyone else, and we were just yearning. We're like, oh, man, we're going to see Mike come to life soon. Like, it's coming, And, you almost had that catch in the end zone. But what I wanted to ask you, Mike, is as far as the playbook goes or the call of plays, does it start from what you guys practice over at One Buck Place as far as what receiver they're going to use to go to with that play? Or is it a cumulative reasons for that based on ability or just, it's whoever Josh wants to call, which receiver receives it, like whether it's Underwood or that's pretty much all I wanted to know. And I'm a faithful listener. It's a great feeling to be a Buck fan now, to know that we have a positive feeling going into every game that we can beat whoever we play. And go get them in Denver, Mike. I'm yes, pulling sir. For you.
All right. It's got to make you feel good.
Yeah, it do. The play is just – like Fleck said, all the plays is just X's and O's. We just whatever.
This is Coach PJ Fleck again. For those that are following along, go ahead.
Yeah, all the plays is just X's and O's. Anybody can be in anywhere, any position. It's just sometimes you have plays that's called where I may have better success running this route, or Vincent had better success, or Tyquan looked better running this route. So they try to like book plays like that and put us in those positions all in one play and. It depends on what the coverage is, who Josh throw the ball to.
I was just going to say, sometimes you've got the best plan to get the ball to number 19, and you are covered. And so then talk about the progression where Josh has 2, 3, maybe 4 options on a play where option number 1 may not be there. Explain how that works to the fans.
This year where I've been very impressed with Josh with was the way he know the coverage before the snap. Like he had it down, but like, he's great with it this year. Like, he know who's going to be double-teamed. He know what safety coming down. He's kind of knowing where the blitz is coming from now. So, I've been shocked with that. So, he know what side of the field to read, and that kind of been helping us a lot this year too.
And, again, take a fan through this, and we're going to get to Denver in just a second, Josh will look at you. He'll look at Vincent. If you are covered, there's now – a second option he's looking at, or even a third, and there may even be a fourth option depending on the line protection that he gets to, and it's called progression, right? He's progressing through this guy's 1, this guy's 2, this guy's 3, and sometimes a guy might be the third option or the fourth option and get a catch.
Yeah, exactly. Usually in the pass game, sometimes in most offenses, in most plays, the running back be the check down. The last option you got, and sometimes you see Josh checking down to Doug all the time.
A couple of more here on Twitter. James says, listening in Savannah, Georgia, go Bucks. Connor says, what's the biggest challenge to facing the Broncos this week on Twitter? Connor wants to know about facing Denver. What's the biggest challenge, you think, this week?
I think that they got a good defense. And their young players are playing very well. You go out there and look at their defense, it seems like they getting on the Champ Bailey style. They playing like him a lot over there. And of course, I'm not on defense, but I'm pretty sure one of the big challenges is Peyton Manning.
Sure. Bailey and Chris Harris and those guys in the secondary, you know, Champ Bailey has been doing this for a long time in the league. What about the challenge against their secondary? I know you've just started looking at Denver's secondary.
It's crazy. It's something we see holes with that we can attack. It's hard to get to because they also got a great pass rusher. So it's we gonna have to have a plan for that too. So it's things that we can get to. It's ways we can get over them. But they have a pretty solid defense.
We mentioned the altitude, loud environment. Now, this is not the old Mile High Stadium that Elway and those guys used to play in. This is a new stadium that they call Sports Authority Field at Mile High. So it's a different stadium, but it's the same kind of premise. Having been there in 08 with the Buccaneers on the sideline, that place literally shakes. The stands will shake with how loud they are. Just talk about having to handle the loud crowds, silent communication, those kind of things, and the importance of it.
We had a lot of practice on it this year on the road games, going into Minnesota and in Oakland and things like that. And we got a plan for it. We're going to go down there and try to adjust to their crowd noise, have a couple silent counts and hand signals and things like that, but try to stay on plan to get a win.
Mark just wants to say hello. Big Buck fan in Southeast Virginia that's listening on Twitter. You got Buck fans that are all over the place that are listening to the show here tonight, and I don't know how many of them are going to be there come Sunday. It might be a tough ticket. Broncos, usually it's a tough ticket, but we'll see how many Buccaneer fans are there for the game on Sunday. All right, mindset for practice this week. It was a tough battle with Atlanta. Put it behind you. Get ready for the Broncos, right?
Mindset in practice is our goals are still ahead of us. It's a tough loss. We knew we wasn't going to go undefeated this season, so it was a tough loss. We just got to go out there and try to get the next one.
Well, and this team has won 3 games in a row on the road, so this is an opportunity to go get another one and bring yourself back home with the Philadelphia Eagles firmly in that P word, that playoff word picture. So good luck trying to go get it Sunday. Mike, thank you. We'll talk to you again next Monday night. We appreciate the time tonight.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me. Dang, it's over already?
There you go. Another hour flies by. There is number 19. Again, we will be with you Sunday from Denver. 3 o'clock with the pregame. 4 o'clock is kick time with the Bucks and the Denver Broncos. My thanks to Eric Sachs helping out tonight. Also, Jeff Ryan here at One Buck Place. I'm TJ Reeves. We'll talk to you on Sunday for Bucks and Broncos on the Buccaneers Radio Network.